chapter 11. We continue our study of faith, what faith is all about, what it looks like. Two explorers were on a jungle safari when a ferocious lion jumped out in front of them. "Keep calm," the first explorer whispered. "Remember what we read in that book about wild animals. If you stand perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he will turn and run." "Sure," replied his companion. "You've read the book and I've read the book. What if the lion hasn't read the book?" We laugh about things like that. Is fear a reality for anybody out there? Can I see anybody out there who struggles with fear ever? During his years as the premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin. Once, as he censured Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience who said this, "You were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him?" Khrushchev yelled out, "Who said that?" Nobody moved a muscle. Dead silence followed. Nobody in the room moved. Khrushchev replied quietly, "Now you know why."
The fear. Amen, Argenzoni, que hace dos semanas tuve el privilegio de estar un tiempo con.
There's a lot of fears in this world today. I'm surprised by all the new ones they've come up with. I found a whole list of them. Here's just a few. Pelidophobia, that's the fear of baldness and bald people. Aerophobia, fear of drafts. Porphyrophobia, fear of the color purple. That's why I didn't wear purple today. I read about this. And chitophobia, fear of hairy people. Levophobia, fear of objects on the left side of the body. Dextrophobia, fear of objects on the right side of the body. Auroraphobia, fear of the northern lights. I'm serious. No, I'm really serious. But thank you for asking. Caliprophobia, fear of obscure meanings. Some of you are afraid of what I'm reading right now. Thalassophobia, the fear of being seated. Stabisbasophobia, fear of standing and walking. Odontophobia, the fear of teeth. That's a scary one, all right. Graphophobia, fear of writing in public. And here's the one I like the best. Phobophobia, the fear of being afraid. Isn't that something? We have all these things out there that people struggle with. Fear after fear after fear. A lot of fears. It's a reality. Most people try to stay busy and ignore them and hope they'll go away. But sooner or later, we all have to face our fears. When we do, oftentimes we're paralyzed. We can't move. How do you face your greatest fears? This is what, quite frankly, the readers of the book of Hebrews were struggling with. Fear. They were afraid they'd made a mistake. They were afraid that maybe Jesus wasn't the Messiah and had not brought the new covenant. They were afraid that they were going to be killed. They were afraid they were going to lose their properties. They had a lot of fears as they watched all kinds of things happen to people around them who had named the name of Christ. They were paralyzed. They didn't want to move forward. In fact, some of them were thinking about retreating. So he writes this book and says the answer to your fear is what? Faith. It's faith. Not just subjectively, but objectively. You have to have faith in an object that is worthy of being trusted. And the object of your faith that is infinitely better than any other object of faith is the person of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that if you have genuine faith and trust in Him and fix your eyes on Him, you will overcome your fears. He will empower you to go all the way to the finish line. And so to prove that, and to prove that Jesus was the object, the ultimate object of faith of all people historically who had a genuine faith, he goes back to the Old Testament and starting in Genesis works his way through all the famous people. And that ultimately their faith was in the future coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, they can overcome their fear. Well, we looked at that, and on the outline you have, we saw the examples of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and then Moses' parents. And then last time we started into the faith of Moses. And we said that Moses had a faith that was a warring faith. He went to war. He went to battle. He did not sit back passively. He aggressively attacked by faith. And the first area we looked at last week, one of the areas that we often have a struggle and a real problem, and if we don't overcome it, we'll never have genuine faith. Moses overcame finances, or riches, you might say. He overcame the temptation to choose something of infinitely lower value than Christ. And that is a temptation everybody faces. Will I choose Christ, the greatest riches, the most awesome reward of all time, or will I settle for something that really is meaningless in comparison, although right now it looks very valuable? And we saw last time that Moses overcame. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the riches of Egypt. He said, I don't want it. I don't need it. I have better rewards coming. And he chose to endure the ill treatment with the people of God rather than the passing pleasure of sin. Saying he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He knew that Christ would be reproached. He knew that Christ would suffer and would die on behalf of the people, and he would rise again on the third day and would ascend back to the Father and would establish a kingdom. He knew that, and therefore he looked forward to that day. And as he looked at that day, he said, the stuff of the world doesn't matter to me anymore. All that stuff that he used to spend so much time dreaming about and enjoying and watching and thinking about, boy, someday when I'm an older man, and I might be one of the, if I'm not Pharaoh, I'll be one of the top leaders in the entire nation. I'll have everything. And he said, no, that doesn't matter to me anymore. Not compared to Jesus. Jesus is everything. So Moses said, by faith, God has promised me rewards in heaven that are infinitely greater than what I have right now, so I'll let go of this. And Moses became a tremendous example of genuine repentance, turning away from what he trusted in and turning to the Messiah. That's repentance. I'm going to stop trusting in the stuff that I have and what I can do, and I'm going to trust only in what Christ can do for me. And he did that. Well, in verse 23 of Hebrews 11, we saw the birth of Moses. In verses 24 through 26, we saw him when he was 40 years old. Come to another section where Moses has won the internal war of faith with his finances. Does that ever plague you, by the way? Anybody here ever struggle with wanting stuff now? And how that battles your faith? Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, now listen, Timothy. This is something pastors don't like to do, but you got to do it. You have to challenge rich people to stop trusting in their riches. Right? Because if they don't stop trusting in their riches, they'll destroy their faith. Their faith will become a shipwreck mess, and they will fall down, and they will not ever genuinely know the Savior. You cannot trust in your riches and trust in Christ at the same moment. It's impossible. In fact, you are a slave to those riches before Christ. You don't own them, they own you. And you have to come to that point where you say, I will no longer be a slave to riches. I will be a slave to who? Christ. I never stop being a slave, right? I'm either a slave of unrighteousness or I'm a slave of righteousness. But I have to be a slave. That's by God's design. That's what we are. We are servants, bond servants of Christ. And so he says, you've got to overcome that internal battle that says this stuff matters more to me than eternal things. And Moses did. But that led to another internal war that must be fought and won, and that is, secondly, the fear of man. Verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king.